want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 205 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on May 25th, 2011. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Head Hard Hat.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our podcast ID is 7525. We have a, or come and join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and that number is 206-3503-GPS. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you. Welcome back, guys. It's been a really cramped week here for me. Got lots of stuff going on, but how have you been, Head Hard Hat?
Oh, I'll tell you what. It's been a week. I've been busy as all get out, and had kind of an unusual, or if you want to call it, unsettling little experience this past week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, went out geocaching. I wanted to test the 2.0 upgrade to geocaching.com's app on the Android. Took it for a little spin. Found this nice little geocache that was nearby. It was one of those things where it was one of those paths that was, I don't know, maybe 75 feet into the woods, no big deal. Sat there for 5 minutes, actually was doing a little bit of filming as I was doing that. Looked down to my leg, and there was no less than 8 ticks.
Ooh.
Climbing up my legs. Oh, and it wasn't just like one. I thought maybe I had stepped on a nest where you just have one kind of tick. I had those, the brown ticks, and I had those teeny tiny little seed ticks.
Ugh, I can't
stand
them.
Oh, I'll tell you what, just makes your skin crawl. And, you know, of course, you got to do that detox thing when you get home. All the clothes have to go into the washing machine, all the rest of it. Thought I had, didn't have any on me. I was all set. Woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning and could just feel that one had latched onto my back.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's one of those things. I don't know if people really realize this about ticks in general. A lot of times they don't necessarily bite just once. They will find one spot. If it's not to their liking, they'll go to the next or go to the next. I've actually got about 5 or 6 bites on me that came from one tick. It was no fun.
No, not good. I have a distaste for ticks that I cannot stand them.
I hate those things. And the little ones are the worst because they're hard to spot and, you know, find and pull off. Well,
and they're practically indestructible. You can't just slap at them. They're not just going to die like a mosquito.
No.
No. One of the things that I did do is I did do a blog post, just out of coincidence, because of it, about ticks, and we'll put it in our show notes, and it gives you everything you want to know about ticks, how to take them off, all that, and how to identify them as well. So just for our listeners, come check it out so that you stay safe out there.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of things that you got to remember to not do to get that tick off of you, because, well, you can actually do more harm than good.
Absolutely, and the idea is definitely to get them off you as quick as possible.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we didn't get much caching in. We had a beautiful weekend for the most part. I actually, instead of going caching and getting some of the stuff done I needed to get done, decided to go for a 48-mile bike ride instead, and just absolutely loved it, but, you know, the knees weren't terribly thrilled after such a long ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a beautiful weekend, but since then I've just been working on, work, of course, but the Geo Woodstock 9 podcast track, that's starting to, finally come together. We've got a pavilion all set up at the event and working on getting the podcasters together to do it. And we'll be doing a live geocaching podcast. Unfortunately, Andy, you're not going to be able to make it, though.
I'm not going to make it. I'll send in some audio, but we're in Seattle that same weekend. So I'm going to be doing a 2-hour ground speak, taking some video there, letting you guys see some video from ground speak. So it's, you know, it's a kind of a trade-off there. You know, I get to go see the mothership, if you will, but at the same time, miss Geo Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to miss you. But I'll tell you what, I am geeked about this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for our panel, we're going to do that, you know, it's perfect timing. We're going to do the Cash Your Coffee with the whole group, whoever is there. And on the panel, we're going to have Head Hard Hat, the Bad Cop, and myself. So it's going to be a full show, and I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm looking.
Hey, wait a minute. We got to tell people don't bring any vegetables.
But yeah, you know, I think they're going to show up no matter what we do.
But we'll get to actually have a live Cash Your Coffee with in front of people, and that's so much fun. And the past shows that we've done live like that have been so much fun, and I really am, I'm saddened that I get to miss it, but I'm super pumped that you guys, that we're going to get to do a show, even if I'm not going to be there.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure we're going to have plenty of video of that show passing around as well, and you know, we're going to be doing Cashermaniacs, the Cashers of the Roundtable, Caching in the Northwest, Podcasher is going to be there as part of this, and you're going to do two shows, Head Hard Hat. You're going to do both your Geo Snippets and the Geo World.
Yep, we're going to be busy. You know, why is it we always end up doing all the work?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I never seem to get to enjoy these events when I go. I spend all of my time working at them.
Hey, I tell you what, though, it's no better to be able to go out and meet so many geocachers and be able to talk with them face to face and get their viewpoints and understand them that much better. That just makes our job better when we come back and do podcasts like this.
Oh, yeah. And it's fun to do. It's just I'd like to have more time to, you know, actually check out some of the activities and be able to kind of report on that stuff.
The news. Well, guys, in the news this week, geocaching.com received another update Tuesday, May 24th. This update addressed several issues, including a Your Page drop-down menu in the nav bar, Pocket Query integration for premium members on Maps Beta, and the ability to send ability to edit trackable origin in the data and date of release. GPX files sent to Garmin devices via the Send to GPS now properly display the basic HTML in the cache descriptions, and more detailed European statistic maps have been added. Check out our show notes for a link to the full release.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever toured Groundspeak headquarters, better known as the Lily Pad? 23% of the lucky geocachers that replied said yes, they have had a tour of Groundspeak headquarters. What about you? Have you toured Groundspeak headquarters out here in Seattle, Washington? You want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingandw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, guys, today is an exciting one for me because, as you guys know, if you've heard the episode last week, I just received an iPhone. So today we're really going to hash out this debate whether a GPSR or a smartphone makes a better geocaching device. And we're doing that with Head Hard Hat arguing for the dedicated GPSR and Daryl W4 arguing for the smartphone. Because I'm really interested in this because, you know, I'm at a kind of a loss as far as I haven't really made up my mind, which I want to do here yet. So the first point I'd like to look at, though, is the accuracy. Since we keep hearing about the problems with caches placed with iPhones, I'm assuming that the GPSR is better here. What's your take, Daryl?
Well, yes, yeah, the current offerings and the dedicated GPSRs usually outperform the smartphones. And, Andy, I know you had one of those Blackberries like 3-4 years ago. We had the same one that we were doing some testing with.
Yeah.
And those weren't as good as a lot of the newer ones. And even, you know, within the same model, you'll find that the GSM variants might be better than the CDMA variant. So, it's the same phone, but depending on which carrier it is. So you'll find a lot of that kind of stuff still exists in the smartphone arena. But when I've been playing with the iPhone, I find it's a lot like the old Garmin Magellan units I actually started with, you know, a little over 5 years ago. So accuracy wise, yeah, you'll find that the newer GPSRs are better, but it's not that much different than the units that we started with not too long ago, and the smartphones are getting better all the time. You know, every generation seems to be a little bit better. A lot of the new Android phones have really good GPSs. The iPhone 4 is much better than the 3GS was. So, you know, we're definitely seeing that. But it's like those old phones, or the old GPSs, rather, you know, like the eTrex, like the SportTrek from way back when. You have to use those tricks that we learned way back when. You got to get the multiple readings. You have to do the average. You have to check your location against resources like Google or Bing Maps when you're placing the cache to make sure you have good descriptions. And it's also important to know that not all apps use the GPS on the same power level or accuracy level. It depends on which OS it is, but almost every operating system for smartphones has the ability to kind of scale the accuracy to improve the battery performance. So when you're going to be placing or searching for a cache, you have to make sure that you're using an app that puts it into that higher power, higher accuracy mode to give you that performance to really help you find and to hide those caches more accurately. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. And yeah, it's not nearly as easy as just picking up a current GPSR and going out and finding it if you're looking at the accuracy. But for finding the caches, it's more than adequate.
Yeah, I think you've already sold my point. I win. We've all played with the smartphones before. The BlackBerry, I've actually had it where you had two separate different, I think you kind of made this point, two separate applications completely different from themselves using the same GPS functionality of a particular phone and getting different results. You know, we've seen all this stuff about iPhones and how the accuracies are so far off when placing a geocache. I mean, GPSRs are simply far more accurate than we've thought possible, not even a decade ago. The newer ones, even the ones that are even slightly old, are so much more accurate. Even the cheap ones like the GeoMate Junior, I mean, it's amazing. You just pick it up and bam, you're down to that 3 foot or zero even accuracy. Of course, it's always a good idea to use the different methods that you talked about, because that, you know, you're going to get different types of interference and different types of obstructions, and it's going to affect any kind of GPS unit. But why would you want to go through all that, especially when all you have to do is go geocaching? You don't have to worry about all that.
Now, Daryl mentioned apps on the smartphone, and that's a feature that I really, really super appreciate. You know, I love the ability to go from the geocaching.com app to, you know, if I had an Android, do the CGO, you know, or the Geosphere. I wish we had that option like that on the handhelds, but we just don't.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, I do love apps. I've had the BlackBerry, I've had the Androids, I've got an iPad. But, you know, when it just comes down to brass tacks, a GPSR is stable and it's reliable.
Yeah, I will give you the stability and the reliability, but the apps give you so much flexibility to pick the features you want, to scale the way you're going to use the unit. It gives you a whole bunch more functions that you can access at the same time, like checking weather radar. You know, if you're on that smartphone and you see the clouds, you can check the radar and skate out of there if you need. But what we're finding is it's so much more appealing to new cachers because they can go and download something like the geocaching intro app and get that quick introduction. It helps walk them through it. And that's something that you really don't have on most of those GPSRs. But then they can go and upgrade to like the geocaching app when they get a little bit more serious and really start getting into it. And then when they get really, really into it and want to start doing the power caching runs and plan these great cache runs and start sharing the files of their finds and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you go and get the CGOs or the Geospheres. Just so many great apps out there to really tailor what you need to what you want. And there's all these great apps out there, too, that will help you solve the puzzles right on the phone and keep track of that kind of stuff, take notes and share notes. So it's, the apps really are what make smartphones, to me, such an awesome caching device.
Now, Head Hard Hat, you mentioned the stability, and, you know, quite honestly, I always loved my 76, my GPS 76. You know, it can take a beating and it floats if I drop it in the water. I've never had it crash on me or any apps like that.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely true. The better GPSRs are built to really take a beating, and they work in all kinds of conditions.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, you can't miss on this argument, and I'm seeing some of the chat that's going along in the chat room as well about this very same thing. You take that very special, you know, fancy schmancy phone and drop it into a creek, that's now you got a very fancy schmancy paperweight. you know, when you have a GPSR that you can drop in the water and pick it up out of it, shake it off, wash it off, or, you know, you're on a rocky trail, you drop it and it drops onto a rock, chances are that thing's going to bounce. I'd like to see an iPhone bounce.
Well, I've actually seen that a couple of times, I hate to admit.
Okay, bounce and survive.
Oh, yeah, I've never broken an iPhone like that. I've seen people who have done that, but the cases for iPhones and for a lot of the Android and BlackBerry phones really can do so much to help protect it. And one of the things I really like about the cases, and granted, they're not going to give you the same durability, but there are cases that will allow you to take the phone underwater. I've got a case for my bicycle that mounts to the handlebars. It's water resistant. You know, I can't take that one underwater, but I don't have to worry about it getting rained on or anything.
And you're probably not going to take your bike underwater, so that's probably okay.
No, but yeah.
You hope not.
it's you can kind of tailor it to what you need, and then you end up with something that's not necessarily as bulky as the big dedicated GPSRs. And we mentioned the battery life earlier. A lot of these cases will have a battery built in, so you don't have to power down and swap out the batteries. It extends the life and gives you so much more durability as far as the battery goes, too. It gives you that longevity that you don't get just off the phone itself.
I don't know. I've seen it with several of the phones that I've tested in the past. You can practically see that battery meter go, especially when you're using the GPS unit. The thing that I see with the standard GPSR, even if you're just using your regular alkaline batteries, those suckers last at 3-4 times the average length that you would get out of a phone. I mean, I think Xbox X mentioned it a week or two back in one of our other recordings where he turned off his GPS unit, put it in a drawer someplace, came back several months later, turned it on, and the batteries are still just as fresh as ever. I'd like to see that with a smartphone.
Well, you know, though, from what I've seen in just, you know, the week or two that I've had this iPhone, the thing that I do like about it is the ability that, you know, as long as I'm not out in the backwoods, there's a data connection. It's always live. I don't have to load the GPS or, you know, the GPX files into it. It's always going to have the latest logs, the latest caches. I can just open it up and things like that.
Yeah, it's really amazing to be able to go out for first to finds that way, for the casual finds. Yeah, I can't even count since I've gotten the iPhone how many times it's like, I kind of feel like going to find a cache, and I just go and find one. And it's also that device I always have with me, so it's always going to be there. I'm not going to leave my iPhone at home on the, you know, shelf because I don't think I'm going to go make a phone call today. I take it with me all the time so that people can get a hold of me. So it's always there. I can always get the information. I can download the maps. I can download cache information. And it really is great, too, because I've got not just the maps, you know, the street or topo maps, but I also have those satellite maps, which really come in handy to help find caches, you know, even without the GPS.
Yeah, but you guys got to stop. You got to stop geocaching in the places where there's all the towers by main cities. I go out, and a lot of times in areas that are, you know, you're out in the woods someplace, or if you go to an area away from a main city. I'll use an example here. I go up about 60 miles north of Raleigh into the Lewisburg and near the Virginia border. There are no phone lines out there. So any of those type of things, you got to have that backup. At the very least, with a standard GPS, if you're going to do a trip like that, you're going to take the time to make sure you have those caches in a GPX file anyways. But there have been plenty of times where you just aren't getting a solid signal, and then what?
Well, I will say that most of the apps for the iPhone and for Android will allow you to cache and store that information. Your big problem is going to be if you do lose the connection, you don't have the two-way data, you don't have data at all, and in many times you won't be able to load new maps into it, but you can at least cache, so you're not going to be completely up the creek. However, it is probably advisable to turn off the cell tower because, you know, you will kill your battery pretty quick.
Oh yeah, big time.
Now, you mentioned the ability to cache the GPX files, and you've mentioned the, you know, ability to have all of those caches loaded on your device. One thing that I've seen so far as a positive for the cell phone is, you know, back in the day when I was trying to explain to people what caching was, I'd say, you know, hey, you have to load your GPS, you have to put all the coordinates in either by hand or drag the GPX file and have to kind of explain how, you know, if I'm going on a trip, I have to do a route and then get, you know, a certain GPX file for the first 500 miles and then another GPX for this, you know, 500 miles. It was just kind of a pain because it kind of zoned out because you kind of, you know, I get geeked out with all that kind of geekery stuff, you know, like the ability to have, you know, lots and lots and lots of waypoints on my GPX file or my GPS. And, you know, like when you take a trip, a road trip, have all of that stuff there. But, you know, it's 100% easy to tell someone how to cache and get them into it if you can hand them their smartphone and say, hey, download this introduction to app. It's free. And all you have to do is open it up and then say, find a cache near me. You don't need to worry about going out to the website and downloading a pocket query or doing anything like that. You can do everything right on the phone.
Indeed, it's so nice being able to do that, and it's got a nice, elegant interface that they're familiar with the nice touch screen. That's just so nice to be able to use something that they're familiar with. It's really obvious what you're doing. You don't have to figure out what this button and that button does like you do on so many of those GPSRs.
I think one of the things, speaking of buttons too, which is definitely a plus for GPS units, is, and I think, Daryl, you've actually brought this up in the past, if you're out there, there are some people that just don't like the flat screens, whether it's a regular GPS or especially off of a smartphone. A lot of times people do like the ability to use buttons on a GPS unit. And imagine in the winter, I have not gone too much geocaching in intrepid weather when it comes to a smartphone. I would be very curious to see exactly how long the batteries and how well the screens react in colder weather.
Well, if you have smartphones, you can't use them with gloves, so that is a disadvantage, and that's where buttons do come in handy. And, I shouldn't say all smartphones, because some smartphones do use the resistive touchscreen where it doesn't need to actually, like, you know, essentially feel the finger like the capacitive screens do that we're used to on most smartphones.
Well, just like the GPS that we had, that we talked about last week, the Explorer 610, that right there is a resistive one, so you could do it with your glove on.
Exactly, and that's the thing, is that almost all of the GPS units do use that resistive, so you don't have the glove issue that you will have with smartphones. So that's one thing I do have to give to the GPSR there.
Woohoo!
Well, and here's one of the things that I like, and this is, I guess, could go either way for you guys, and this is, a toss-up, whoever wants to take this, and you know, I really like the ability to have the camera. I can record video, I can record audio with this in pictures right there in the field with the iPhone or any other smartphone for that matter. But, you know, it can go the other way too, because the GPSR unit that we reviewed last week has a camera on it, has an audio recorder, can do all that stuff too. So, who wants to take that one?
Well, I think in a case like that, I'm gonna concede gracefully, and the reason why is because the technology just isn't there yet when it comes to making all-in-one type functionalities on a GPS unit. The smartphones, it's built in. The ones that, you know, they've got the occasional unit that's out there that they're trying to make a better camera and a better recorder, but I'll concede to that one. GPSR units just aren't quite there yet. What do you think, Daryl?
Well, and I'll give you three words that really make it worthwhile to have that all-in-one smartphone. Phone a friend.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's true. Well, and, you know, like I've said, you know, last week's show notes, again, we're going back to last week, but I've posted pictures, I posted the audio, and while the picture is pretty good on the unit from last week, it's, you know, it's good, it's useful, it's not bad, you know, I liked it, it was geotagged, I liked everything like that, there's no comparison with that to the iPhone, especially the iPhone 4, and, you know, and I know that the Android phones have a really good camera on them too, so, you know, either one, no matter which one you have, whichever camp you're in, the Android or the iPhone or whatever other smartphone you have, those, there's just no comparison those pictures.
Yeah, it's going to depend on what they're going to end up doing. I would honestly like to see GPS units going the other way. If they're going to do different things, maybe things like being able to have the ability to hook into weather radio or some other type of functionality that might be able to be unique to a GPS unit that you may not necessarily have on a smartphone.
All right, so what... Give me your last argument here so I can kind of make a decision what I'm going to choose. Daryl, give me your closing argument for why I should use the smartphone for caching.
All right. Well, I should probably disclose that I'm still a fan of using both units, but I can't live without my smartphone anymore. I cache with my smartphone all the time. It's always with me. It's fast. It's elegant to get in, get out. It's great for doing the logging in the field. I don't have to, you know, futz with a touch screen that doesn't respond very well and use that as a keyboard, because these phones are really built to have excellent keyboards. If you like the physical keyboard, you know, a lot of those Android phones, the Blackberries, have great keyboards for entering it. So for the paperless caching, nothing beats it. But I still admit I go back to my GPS for actually finding location, and I've got the iPhone in one hand, the GPS in the other, and that's how I find a lot of the caches, you know, in the woods on the big caching trips. But most of the time when we go out for the casual caching, you know, hey, let's go find some caches, you know, just jump out and find some caches around here. I really do like the iPhone only because it's so simple. It's right there. It's always with me. I don't have to think about it. It's just there.
All right. Head,
okay. Head. For me, I would say the first thing that I would give in my closing argument with this is go ahead and give that fancy $500 phone to your six-year-old daughter or son as you go out geocaching. Taking durability and the ruggedness of a GPS unit, you can use it as the family GPS. You can have your kids use it, and you don't have to even give it a second thought when it comes to having it getting damaged or broken or what have you. It's great for the accuracy and the battery life, especially when you're on longer trips, that I think that you're going to find the smartphones, unless you got a way of charging it out in the middle of the woods, may not last as long as you really want. And in a lot of cases, they go pretty quick. They are bulkier, they are heavier, and it does take a little bit more to loading them up. But when it comes to being out in a situation where you're not going to get lost because of something going wrong with it, a GPS the way to go. On the flip side, and exactly what Daryl had said, I too am a huge fan of the Androids and with the smartphones for the exact same reasons. But I'll tell you what, I will always have a GPS for backup.
All right, so here's my thoughts. And I mean, I've used, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast at any length of time, you know that I've already had an iPod Touch. So you know that I'm kind of used to doing the, at least cache lookup as far as my, you know, the descriptions and things like that, and the logging on the iPod Touch. So I'm thinking I'm pretty much going to use it the same way now. I'm like, kind of like Daryl, I'm going to take both units, you know, me having small kids, it's hard for us to get out and do a lot of dedicated caching days or things like that. You know, a lot of times when our caching comes, it's one or two real quick. You know, if it's a Saturday and I'm planning to, you know, we do a geocache day, I've got no problem taking the dedicated GPS unit. Obviously, I'm going to hold on to my phone. I'm going to look up the data there, you know, because it's so nice. You know, back in the day, I remember having, you know, being able to, and I still can on my GPS map 76, you know, kind of create the name of the waypoint, something kind of creative so you know what it is, what type it is, all the pertinent information just by looking at it. You can tell if it's a micro or a traditional, things like that. But you don't get the information as far as you don't get extra logs on things like that. Now, a lot of the newer smartphones you do, you know, and I'll give it that. You can see the logs in there. But, you know, on the one unit that I have, I can't see that. And so for me to have the smartphone with me to be able to see that information, whether it has a data connection or not, like Daryl said, you can cache the information onto the data, the device, the app. So it's like, for me, I have all that information there. What I am going to be doing now and is the, hey, next town over, we're at the mall. Let's see if we can hit a cache before we go home. I've already got the smartphone with me. I'm not going to have the GPS with me. You know, I do carry a GPS in my book bag. So if I got my book bag with me, that's great. But I don't always have my book bag with me. So for me, it's one of those things that it's convenience. I'm going to use both because I can. You know, if I'm doing urban caching where, you know, I'm sure to have good data connection and a decent cell, a decent GPS reception, I'm going to go ahead and use the smartphone because it's just going to be a lot quicker. You know, we were talking before the show, I use Geosphere mostly as the app that I use of choice for caching on the phone and the iPod Touch. Me and Geek Boy were talking about how we also like flipping back and forth between the official geocaching.com app because if, say, your information that you had cached in Geosphere is, you know, a couple days old, you don't get the latest logs. So the ability to flip right over and get the latest logs is pretty amazing. Like Daryl said, you have the phone a friend. It's just all in one package. It's kind of one of those things that I think I'm going to become kind of dependent on you, like you, Daryl, you know, kind of having both. As long as it's kind of a planned out cache thing, I'm going to have both.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty much in agreement here, which is smartphones are a great asset. But really, if you're into a lot of serious conditions, a lot of the serious caching, you're probably really going to still want that GPSR. But let me throw a little curve at you here.
All right.
This is something that I keep thinking about. You know, Garmin had that Nuvi phone, which was, they had two versions of it, actually. One was a Windows-based phone, from what I understand, and the other was Android-based. So they already have some experience with Android. They just released that new Montana that's the more hardcore outdoor GPS style thing. Can we get them to maybe marry those two things up so we'd end up with a really rugged outdoor smartphone?
I think if they've got the right price to that, people would jump on it. I mean, let's face it, if you've got, what did they say, 6-7 million geocachers out there, that's the ones that just are recorded on geocache.com. If they can come up with something like that, put the right price on it, I'd give it a bite.
Well, and I think the market's even a lot bigger than just us geocachers. If you can put your own apps on there, you know, think about construction folks who might want that phone just because it's more rugged and they don't have to worry about killing it as much. And it has a good quality GPS so they can help find locations that they have to go scout for whatever. You know, there's just such a great market, I think, for that nice rugged phone. And we have seen a number of the rugged phones. There's just not a whole lot happening in rugged smartphones. Because that's not where the market is right now, I think. It's, you know, everyone wants that nice, sexy, slim phone. So I keep hoping, and I think right now Garmin is probably the most likely one to do that, and hopefully they can, you know, give it a good GPS as well.
We shall see, and if they do, please send all checks to Daryl W. Four in care of this station.
Well, thank you guys for helping me kind of, you know, throw back and kind of decide what my combination and how I want to use and utilize this smartphone that I have now. So, you know, guys, thank you both. It was nice to hear both of your sides of the story. You know, obviously we kind of all come to the same, in the end, come to the same conclusion, but you know, thanks again, guys.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
If you guys found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. We realize there are many places you can spend your hard-earned cash, and if you decide to donate, you'll be given a link to our Plus feed. Thank you. Join us each Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.